Well, I don't know what episode this is, but this is the Delayed W podcast. I'm your host, Saint. And we got the usual panel here, King Beast. Okay, that nigga jacking off. But we also got Kiki the Don.
Yes, sir.
And we got our editor, Warwolf.
Up.
And we got the special guest, the starring guest of this show, Big Zeus. That's right, Corb.
Thank you. We about to get into tonight.
Yeah, this episode, you know, we're talking about dealing with racism, because I know everybody on this panel has at least experienced it once. You know, it's an all-black panel right now.
Straight up.
And we deal with that shit every day. It may not be as bad as, like, some of the stories you're about to tell, but we just want to give our side of how it is living in America as a black male. But first, let's let Corb. He has some crazy stories to talk about. So, Corb, go ahead and tell us the racist experience if you've dealt with.
All right. Well, I'm going to just start off the jump, you know, like some shit just hit me like a couple weeks ago. You know what I'm saying?
No.
Like, damn. Kiki already know how this went down. You feel me? Like, I was with the crew, Raylo and DZ, you feel me? And we out in this town called Belton. And for those in the KCMO area, you know what I'm saying, they know Belton, that's redneck land. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, but they got some good restaurants out there, and then like they got this family fun center and shit that you can go out there and chill with, you know what I'm saying? So it's kind of high risk, high reward, you know? So we went out there, and we go out there all the time to eat some pizza. So, you know, we ate our pizza and everything, and sometimes after we eat our pizza, we head down the street to that family fun center, or we go home. We decided to go down there and bowl, right? So, mind you, let me remind you, we've been there plenty of times before. So, we get there, and first of all, as before we even walking into the building, bro, before we even walking into the building, I see this white family. I see the dad, I see cuz walk out the door, pushing the door open all dramatic and everything, you know what I'm saying? Like he just saw some niggas, which he did. Uh-oh. And then I see his daughter walking up behind him, you know what I'm saying, carrying her like little like roller bowling luggage shit. And for you guys, y'all know, it don't matter if you black, white, Latino, Asian, any of that, right? It's all about showing respect and being polite. And what I mean by that is when you walking into the door, when you about to walk into a place and somebody walk out, ain't you supposed to hold that door open for that person walking in?
Without a doubt.
Always.
This little bitch walked out and she saw my hand reaching to take that door as I was beginning to say, "Why thank you?" But nah, as my hand was midway to grabbing the door for her, she finessed me and just gonna push that motherfucker like all dramatic and everything. Like, here, lead us to you to take that shit. I'm like, well, damn. All right, then. I feel the hostility. So, vibe is already kind of semi-thrown off. You know what I'm saying? But we ain't even get to the Blendesh yet. So, I'm like, all right. I'm about to tune her ass out because the bigger picture is we about to bowl, right? So, we go up to the bowling desk, as my boy Raylo goes up to the bowling desk. And so, first it was this white family in front of us. I guess they did what they had to do to get them a lane. And then comes my boy Raylo. He's talking to him, and I guess the clerk told him Cosmic Bowl was about to start because he said we're here for a lane. And then her response was Cosmic Bowl was about to start. And we're like, okay. So, like, we're still here to pay for a lane. And all of a sudden, she go get her manager. And then the manager comes out and she's like, hi, mind you, she got this uptight ass face. Like, you know, something like,
something about to pop off.
I don't know if my other two niggas was reading her face, but I was reading her face like a motherfucker. Like, it was clear as day. And so,
like a Karen face.
Man, yes. That little squiggity squeak face, squinty face. Like, you just, like, yes. And so, she was like, we're only just letting you know, we're taking cash only. We're not taking, our credit card systems are down.
That's cool, bitch. Where the ATM?
Hold on. So we like, well, we all got debits. So we was like, that's GG. And so, and then she was like, I'm sorry. And then this where the ball drops. Like, I'm sorry. It's happening. It's happening everywhere. It's happening worldwide. She said it's worldwide. And so,
yeah, racism is worldwide. She right.
It didn't hit us that split second. But until we was like, all right, fuck this shit. We out. And then before we even, and now this is the best part. This is why anytime you go out with me, you know what I'm saying? You should feel grateful that you got me around, because every person that you go out with, you know what I'm saying, you grateful for having them around you for some kind of reason, right? For whatever kind of characteristic specialty they have. Me, I'm the one that senses when shit ain't right, when shit seems fugazi. And so, before we even walked out
the door, saying is your nigga senses kicked.
It did. And so, you know, my boy Raylan and Deezy, they ready to walk out. Well, I'm like, I'm ready to walk out too, but I'm not about to let shit slide like that, you know? So I was like, hold on, y'all. Hold on. I was like, take a look. Like, scan the whole place. I was like, do y'all even see one nigga at a lane right now? There's not one nigga in sight. And not one lane. And so, keep the music going. It's not one nigga in sight in one. And so then that's what made me snap. I yelled that I was like, yeah, ain't no wonder why the fuck you saying the fucking credit card systems are down, because y'all don't want a nigga to use their credit cards, because y'all think niggas is gonna scam. Y'all think we're here to scam. I was like, I don't know why y'all motherfuckers just think we need to roll around with cash all the time. Y'all just think we can't have no real legit debit cards. Like, that's possible. That exists. Like, niggas have jobs. Niggas, like, I don't know what stereotype y'all think we be living off of. I don't think if y'all motherfuckers think we just live off cash checks, you know, paper checks. No, like, niggas can have debit and credit cards too. And so, and then I was like, and then you say it's a worldwide thing. We just came from the pizza joint down the street from here where we all just paid with our debit cards. So I don't know why.
Bitch, you a local business.
So I don't know.
Really?
So I don't know why you giving me that worldwide shit. And then on top of that, just to even one up your ass, we went to Quick Trip before we hit your spot. So not only did we just pay with our debit cards at the pizza spot, we paid with our debit card to fill up my motherfucking tank. You want to say it's worldwide? Bitch, these two places in the midst of one block from your establishment just accepted our debit cards. So, like, I already knew. And so I was like, man, nah, fuck you. I don't even want to hear what you got to say in rebuttal, because you don't deserve to give a rebuttal. Like, fuck y'all. Like, it's simple. I knew what was going down. I'm like, now see, not only do white people just think that we're scary, or that we're intimidating, or that we're a burden, but all right, now they think we just motherfuckers that just walk around with crumpled ass dollar bills in our pockets. Or that's how.
And
boy,
so what if I am? What you
going? Oh, your drug money. That's what they
mean. Oh, cream. Oh, Wu-Tang.
Or they think that's how it should be. But no, once a nigga pull out a you know what I'm saying, a credit card or a debit card, you know what I'm saying? Like, you get spooked. Like, nah, that nigga shouldn't be having that. What you doing with that? You shouldn't be having that. Well, I got it, bitch. I got it. Not only do I got it, but I earned it. Straight up. And so that's what I just want to tell America. I want to use this platform, you know what I'm saying, because I love this platform, and I'm so grateful, and I'm so thankful for what y'all doing with this platform, you know what I'm saying, because it does nothing but put the necessary spotlight on the shit that needs to be heard, you know what I'm saying, and I'm using this time in this platform in time, like, to speak with y'all to America about how fucked up y'all white people is and how y'all see us, how y'all perceive us, especially how y'all perceive us financially. Because why you think it's 1 times out of 10, bitch, it's a strong possibility it's 9 times out of 10 too that I'm richer than you. That's a bar.
Folks, there's a reason why we call this man, Malcolm X, and you just heard it.
That's a bar.
It looked like
and so,
a little bit too.
Also, we do have listeners in Australia, Germany, Singapore, UK, and Canada, and Ireland.
Hey, praise due to y'all, because this is only me just actually getting y'all hip to how shit goes on here in America. You feel me? Matter of fact, like, I don't even think it should be called America, because it really is America. You feel me? Like, it really is America. And I just even want to switch gears. Like, Mos Def, aka Yasiin Bey, for those, you know what I mean, who really into Mos Def, but y'all know him more
yes,
as
sir.
Mos Def. He said one of the most memorable quotes that I like to stick to me. You know what I'm saying? When he told Kanye West, the most horrible place for a black man to make music in is America. Is America. Because all these motherfucking white devils around here is waiting for you to do, and this applies to various other talents, categories, anything. It's bigger than music. All they just waiting for you to do, they waiting for you to just slip up one time. Just so they can use that in advantage to their justification that you aren't shit. Because that's how they see it. And really, we, like, it's true. Us as black people, we like to retaliate through anger. And it's very true when you have these black people standing up on these platforms telling us how we shouldn't respond and we shouldn't retaliate through just being mad all the time, because that's what they want to bait out of us. You feel me? That's what they want to bait out of us. How we should respond is with intelligence. Hold on. Not just with intelligence, but with our money as well. We let both of them shit speak for itself. They're going to be looking dumb, lost, stupid, bamboozled, the whole nine yards.
Led astray, run amok, and flat out the scene.
See, I was waiting for that. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. And so, question, any of y'all can answer, any of you guys can answer, all right? How many times have you walked into an establishment? You seen, whether if it's an employee or if it's another fellow customer, how many times have you walked into an establishment and you saw a white person, and as soon as they looked at you, you could tell, oh shit, they spoke to me.
Oh shit, here come a.
This has happened at least like 5 times, maybe more than that, actually.
I'm not gonna lie.
Five times that I'm aware of, but I'm pretty sure it's happened more than that, and I just wasn't aware of it.
I like going.
I started getting aware of that shit
on purpose to make white people uncomfortable.
Now
that too.
Let me narrow it down.
It's funny. It's because I have a story about that, though, because, like, I've told it before in the podcast with the original cast of the Delay W podcast.
Right.
Well, I'll keep it short and simple. It was me. Seven was already there. And somebody else was there, too. But me, Afro, my best friend, and it was somebody was there, too. We had pulled up with two white women that were friends. We've known them, you know. We're in, like, I'd say, like, the eighth grade around that time, eighth, seventh grade. Come on, we've known these girls since, like, elementary, right? We walk into the little the camp that we were working, like, the summer camp, because it was, like, a Bible. It was, like, a Bible.
Summer camp. Camp.
Yeah, it was a Bible summer camp. That was going on for like 3 weeks, and then it'll go to like the regular daycare.
Right.
Like they would have the church people run it. And the church people, I guess they didn't know that because they don't really know us like that, of course. But when they saw, because keep in mind, it's all white people. But when they saw two niggas with white women, oh, they were pissed. You can sense it in the room. You feel like a bunch of eyes are watching you. You see on their face that they're pissed. And it was even showing out when we were doing like group activities. They were not fucking with us. They weren't talking to us. They weren't even trying to do any activities with us. Like it was bad. And at that moment, I told my mom, like a little bit after that, I was like, I'm not going back to this shit. And she didn't really understand that. But because, you know, they're two-faced. So when they talk to parents and stuff, they don't know that, right? But right. They were racist as shit.
And see, that's the thing. I don't think y'all need to get mad when y'all see us over there trying to invade y'all shit, because while we invading y'all shit, for the past 300 years, y'all been oppressing our shit. So what makes you think you got the right to get mad because we trying to invade on y'all shit? All we just trying to do is just come through, fuck your little world up, and
they brought us
our business. That's it.
Yeah, they brought. I mean, they can only be mad at themselves.
You know what I'm saying?
This.
Keep in mind, we're not talking about white people. We're talking about colonizers. There's a big difference. Colonizers. That's what we'll call them. If you watch Black Panther, you understand this reference completely. But yeah, it's pretty fucked up.
And
man.
Let me pull out that Urban Dictionary. You know what I'm saying? For niggas who want to know what that means in the English way. By the book of niggardom, or by the book of niggalations, colonizers is when you see a bitch like Kylie Jenner over here disguising her skin, looking, trying to look more and more like Beyonce.
It's white. It's okay. There's nothing.
Colonizers, these white bitches putting braids in their motherfucking heads. You know what I'm saying? Thinking they got the right to think they like Alicia Keys or some shit.
Yeah, and then some of us get unfortunately brainwashed, like my boy. Kanye. What's that dude, Sammy Salt? Nah, not really him. But I was going more.
Sammy,
Mr. Pink Man.
Sammy, man. Don't nobody want to hear. Like, why niggas always got to run to the bleach excuse? Answer. Why
niggas gotta... You know the sad reality about like bleaching your skin and stuff too? It's some of them is because they want to be accepted by white people, and then
that's what I was referring to.
And then some are just I want to say they are. That's self hate. They don't really love themselves truly. And that, like, I guess they're kind of like they won't be accepted by white people. Let's put that right there. Like, you wouldn't be accepted as a white person just because you bleach your skin white.
Let me tell you this.
It's more of a like a fear, you know?
And let me tell you this.
Because at the end of the day,
I agree.
That boy Jack is calling you a nigga behind your back.
Jack is calling
you. Let me write that one down.
That nigga Jack is calling you a nigga behind your back. And for me to be a fellow nigga, I promise you, I done washed my hands in a sink full of bleach. about 10 since I was 2. Not a color done changed on this damn beautiful skin.
Yeah.
Now it
Black
made it
is beautiful.
Now it done made turn pink on my shirt and a couple of my sweats. But ain't nothing cracking this skin. Nah.
It's crazy that you had talked about like the how the cashier and the manager is kind of like Karens, right? It's a funny story with best friend Afro. 7 was there too. It, like the whole like gang was there. We called ourselves a Loader Squad. If you know why, you know why. So Loader Squad, we're just chilling at the mall, usual thing that we always do, right? This is around the time. Middle school, somewhere in high school, and Afro was like, "Hey, I actually renovated my room and stuff. I do need like some bed sheets or whatever, like a comforter set." So he's like looking at the stuff in JCPenney, right? I kid you not. Kiki, were you there?
I might have been.
You were there. I think you were there too. Think you were, but we're like looking right, the different beds and the comforters, right? And I kid you not, the manager comes up, old white dude. He's at least like 6. And he's like, excuse me, fellas, I'm gonna have to ask you guys to leave. I'm like, what? It's like, you're not buying anything, so you can't just be standing around here. So you're gonna have to leave. And we're all confused. We're like, what the fuck? We're like. Dude, he's legit looking for a comforter set because he needs to buy one. Like, he's trying to buy one. Like, what the fuck do you mean we got to leave? Like, what the fuck? Right. And even then, if we weren't buying anything, you don't have a right to kick us out because we're just looking. Like, what? This is a mall. Like, what the fuck is wrong with you, bro?
I'm a suspect. It's because
But the last laugh is Afro's parents. Especially his mom does not play that shit. She said, oh, really? This is what happened, Afro? Oh, okay. You know what she did? Best believe she called corporate, reported his bitch ass, and that wasn't the first complaint that to him. They got that motherfucker fired.
And he got fired!
Damn, dude.
He wasn't working in OJP anymore. She sure did. It was like, we getting your ass out of here.
And look, I ain't even trying to shit on Afro Parade because hey, props to him and his mother for getting that nigga fired. You feel me? But I just gotta say this though, because it's the bigger picture, and the bigger picture is always gonna need to be admitted. Okay. It's real, it seemed real nice for us, you know what I'm saying, to get a manager of a store of a retail store fired, you know what I'm saying, because he was on some alleged racist shit that just happened to get proven, right? So, why?
Not resigned either, where he got to walk away from it. Like, no, hold on. He got fired.
So why does it take until hell freezes over to get a cop thrown in jail?
Yeah.
It's a broken system.
They still not getting locked up like
that. And even if he don't go to jail and he just gets suspended, he gets suspended, not fired. And niggas be trying to throw a bone. Niggas be trying to throw a treat in by saying, oh yeah, he's suspended without pay.
Suspended without
pay.
Hold up,
Corey. One will really be pissing me off on some shit though.
What's up?
It's like, you know, when, like, we already know we pissed when that shit happened to black people. What pissed me off even more is when it happened to white people. And it's like, you would expect them for their ass to get locked the fuck up and get whatever sentence they deserve because, like, when that SWAT team had raided that hotel and shit and they had them 2 people on their knees and was telling them what to do, one cop was telling them, like, crawl and don't sit up. The other one was like, yeah, and then he killed his ass and he had nothing, which didn't make no sense to me. And that's, like, regardless whether he's black or white, that's bullshit. But you would have expected that nigga to have been thrown under the jail because he was white, and he still ain't get thrown under the jail. That nigga get PTSD pay for that shit.
No, straight up.
See, that's an iffy situation because he did tell him to not get up, and he got up and tried to bring his shorts back up, whatever, like adjust his shorts. So it's kind of like a fuck situation where the cop is in the wrong, right?
Right.
But you know, right away they're gonna say he did tell him to do this. He didn't follow a command, so
I ain't trying.
The cop's not gonna get in trouble
like,
for that.
I don't be trying to hear none of that because it's like there's like four or five of y'all niggas with assault rifles and body armor in the hallway. This nigga ain't got shit on him. Even if he did have a gun, it's like y'all gonna light him up before he even gets the chance. So it's like.
The cop was trigger happy.
Because that's just the same as a nigga with asthma. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's just the same. Like, with Eric Hunter, the nigga had asthma. You know what I'm saying? The nigga can't breathe. They telling you don't move. Well, I can't breathe. My inhaler is in my pocket. I want to keep breathing. Like, so let me get this inhaler. Boom, boom. We told you don't move. Well, I told you I can't breathe. So... apparently, you didn't care for my life in two contexts. You didn't care about
my life
regardless in both contexts. So it's like,
I mean, if you're listening and you're in a situation like that, if it comes to it, the best thing to do is just to say, "Officer, I'm not really understanding these commands. I'm a little like freaked out right now. Can you just move me? Can you?" You just get me right now, because if you don't want to do the wrong move, and now your family's at your funeral the next week, right? Like, nah. Don't even, like, risk it. Don't risk it. It's not worth having another innocent black person who's dealing with everyday life shit, right? Have his life gone all because of the trigger happy cop, you know?
Word up, man. Word up. Because that's why I like to say this all the time. From the perception of these cops, you know what I'm saying? Because I feel I have the damn say-so to speak for them in this regard. The perception of these cops on how they look at us is hunting season to them. And we the sitting ducks. You feel me? It's hunting season to them and we the sitting ducks. And they just feel like they can just target us off and pinpoint us off by the head one by one. Whenever they fucking feel like it, because they know we gonna do this shit. We probably gonna catch some flack off of it, but we know the end game in the long run. We gonna get off of this shit. And even if we get anything in the slightest, it's just gonna be compared to a baby getting a little slap on his hand. Because we got that privilege that they don't have.
Nigga said we sitting ducks. The last thing they gonna hear is that quack quack, nigga. What's up?
That's how they did that. That's how they did Ahmaud Arbery.
Mm-hmm.
Two niggas rolling around in they fucking truck. They see this dude that they know that they already had some hostility towards. Hey, son, let's go plot on this dude. He sees him and he running. He's already on a job. You know what I'm saying? So now this man, instead of him just running, trying to get himself to be more healthy, now he over here running for his fucking life. And y'all chasing after this man, you know what I'm saying? Like as if this shit is like as if it's a demolition derby. You know what I'm saying? You see something in your eyes that you trying to kill off, you know what I'm saying? You trying to crush this nigga. You trying to crash this nigga. Like, you know what I mean? You're not just trying to kill him. I feel like something should be said more than that than a man just trying to kind of like they was plotting, they was hunting, you know what I'm saying? They was preying on him. And I feel like that's just the perception of how they see us, man. We sitting ducks. And all we need is just that one reason to give to them as to why, you know, why they seen us like that. And so, because at the end of the day, our explanation ain't going to matter. It ain't going to matter. I mean, that's part of why, you know what I'm saying, like Kiki, Satan, and all of them, that's why, like, they see that I be so gung-ho towards being anti-married, date white women, because it's like, yo, all right. I'm sorry. I'm just cautious against putting myself in a situation You know what I'm saying? I don't care if she doesn't give me the slightest sign of something like that to never ever happen. I don't care. I just don't. I want to avoid that. I don't even want a chance of something going down. You know what I'm saying? Where we can even be play fighting. We can even be play fighting, and I can accidentally give her a black eye because we was play wrestling. She could take that shit. She could take that shit to the cops if she wanted to. And hell, not only she could just actually get away with lying, saying that I beat her ass and gave her the black eye. Hell, they'll even look at me even two times the other way just for even her telling the truth. Yeah, we was playing around. He gave me a black eye. Why'd you give her a black eye, son? Why you playing rough with her, son?
Yeah.
How would you just reminded me of a story, bro.
How would you like it if we give you a black eye?
Oh.
You just reminded me, bro. I've told Kiki this. I haven't told you this story. I haven't told King this story. I've told Warwolf about this one. We'll call this woman Mary.
Call her Karen. Lie.
No. She wasn't a Karen. Trust me. She's a Mary. Very naive. Very beautiful woman. Majorly white. Hispanic. And she was mixed with German. Hispanic. And something else too. But she's white. She's white. Okay. And I started like talking to her, you know. And she said like some out of line shit. Let me see. I might still have the text messages.
Really?
Screenshots.
You fucking archive that?
Oh, I have it in the archive. Unless I didn't delete the archive. Let me see. I think I might still have it.
Let me check my Google.
If I don't have it anymore. Nah.
Oh, this is on the SD card.
No, this is on my phone. Okay, so let's see. So, I won't read the text messages per se, but I have them right here in front of me, and I'll give you the gist of the story. So, we were like talking, whatever, and she tells me how like her dad's side of this family, they like to marry like straight up white women, right? And they're real iffy and real picky on marrying certain Hispanics because of their skin complexion. And they're worried about what the kid will come out looking like. Deja and on top of that, her dad's side of the family were all core Trump supporters. And on her mom's side, of course they're not because they're Hispanic, right? Which that's not always true. Sometimes Hispanics are Trump supporters. But the problem is, I guess in tradition, they're very, very, very outdated, old school, like old fashioned, where the women have no say in anything, right?
Right.
So they basically just follow whatever the man says. And she was telling me about this, and I'm thinking, oh, fuck no. I don't know about this. And, oh, I know exactly what led on to this, like, conversation. She was telling me that she was going over, like, a pastor's house. I'm like, that's kind of weird, but all right. And I'm going to ask y'all, what do you think this pastor did before he was a pastor?
Some bullshit.
No, I want y'all to guess.
He ran a brothel.
Sold drugs to the community.
He was a KKK member.
He was a grand
wizard. What did you think, Warwolf?
Here you go.
Actually, a skinhead.
Yeah, I was right.
Damn.
Oh.
Yeah. And she was telling me that, like, oh, no, he's a changed man. He's not like that at all.
No, no. no, nah, fuck all that.
He found God.
You
the motherfuckers now, find God and still molest kids. What you talking
you,
about?
You exposed the lie right there.
This ain't no. What's that movie called with Edward Norton? This ain't no
American History X. Mm-hmm.
Niggas
go to jail. Thousands of niggas go to jail to turn Muslim and come right back out and do murder and praise Allah every day.
Yeah. So he was like a skinhead or KKK member, and like neo-Nazi type shit, right? And I'm like, oh nah, that's not good. And then she was telling me like, oh, I know you're different, and honestly, I'm hoping you can change like their point of view and perspective. And I'm like, hell no. Nah.
You're different. Like, what that's supposed to mean?
Re-say that. Re-say it again.
Yeah, like she was saying that I'm different and I can change their point of view.
I am the chosen head ass.
What do you mean by that?
I'm like,
really?
I was like, Tyler Creator, get nigga, out. No.
You're different. What do you mean by that?
I was like, nah. And I told her straight up, I'm like, if you told this to any other black person, they would have been blocked you and not even responded. Like,
you're different.
I'm going ghost.
Well,
I tell that story for a sugar because coat. Not even that. It's just like, you got to be careful. Like, I'm all for biracial couples and stuff. I'm interracial couples. I'm all for that, right? But be careful with people that you're dating, because maybe that person is, you know, a good person, right? But you got to also look at, in the long run, if you're going to get married to this person or anything serious, right? You got to look at the family. What is the mom like? What is the dad like? What are their cousins like? What are their views?
Hey, I just feel like at the end of the day, that's just gonna be awkward. Picture like this, bro. Let's say you go out with her. And I ain't just talking about white people. I was just talking about in general. It's not your own race. Let's say you go out with a Hispanic girl. Let's say you go to a family reunion. You gonna be the only nigga there, bro. You know how awkward that's gonna be? Or let's say she come over your house. She gonna be the only Hispanic person there. That's just gonna be awkward on both sides, bro.
No, I wouldn't say that. No, that's not always true, because I've had girlfriends, especially I had one that she met all the family, and it was pretty good. That's not always an issue. What I'm saying is their views. They could be like, I was in this situation where they're racist as shit. They're skinheads or former KKK members, and you don't even know it. You're naive because you're in love with this person, right? And you're ignoring like red flags, right? You got to be careful, because I don't want you to end up in a trunk of Philip and Trevor, and they about to go hang your ass, you know? Like, just know it's still a crazy world that is still racist as fuck. Maybe the media doesn't show it always, unless it's a very controversial like moment where another black person is shot and killed by a cop, right? But just know there's still, you know, the KKK is still well in life.
No, straight up.
It may not be the same as it was back then, because they're probably in suits, officers, which she also told me that one of her cousins was an officer, right? And her dad was an officer too.
Right.
And they're also in the military too. So.
Bill, we got on the premises.
Be aware of that. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So be careful, because
Taser.
He's got a weapon.
You never know.
Next time I tell you to do something, you do it.
I'm gonna say this, and then I gotta dip.
Sure.
It's this guy that I know, right? And he dates a white woman, and he's from the thick of that shit, Louisiana.
Not New Orleans. New Orleans?
Nollins. And so
Nollins. One word.
And so, you know, you know me. I'm pressing on him all the time, just about like, all right, like, I'm not
I'm not just going to come out, you know what I mean, guns blazing, saying you wrong for dating a white woman. I just want to know your reasoning for why you chose. You know what I'm saying? And so, like, I'm just genuinely curious. And so, he's telling me, like, everything and all of that stuff. But, like, my point.
Oh, no. He lagged.
Uh-oh. They got him.
And the feds got him. Damn.
Feds are the sweep.
FBI, open up.
You know what's crazy? I feel like I know the person he was talking about, too. And I feel like I was in the party when we had this discussion.
Oh, and on PlayStation?
Mm-hmm, yeah. That's why when he started talking about it, I started laughing because I started to put two and two together.
Have I experienced racism? Yeah, a couple of times. Yeah. I think the first earliest.
What's it like dealing with racism as a white man in America?
Shut up.
Yep.
He is black just like us.
I just like fucking with him.
You wouldn't think.
That can be a little bit, you know, like, what the fuck? Who's lagging? Oh, it's Corb.
Okay,
where was I?
You were about to tell us about the dude with the white girlfriend, and you were questioning.
Did I say his family was the nucleus?
No.
Oh no.
Okay. All right. Because I said in regards to your story and what you were telling about her family, right? The family is like, it don't matter what your views are, dislikes, likes, perspective, it doesn't matter. Like, it can depreciate as far as it wants to be against your family, but your family's views on how they perceive you is always gonna be there. You know what I mean? It's a huge deal because the family is the nucleus. They're gonna be in your ear 24/7, and that's what I was talking about with him, because he said his girl. She's white, so her family is white, and he said her family appreciates him, most of her family except for her uncle, and to his defense he said that he doesn't come around much and that he's a drunk, but when he does, it's always some racist shit. And so, like, I told him, I'm like, see, he thinks this isn't a big deal, but I try to press on him and tell him that it is, and I'll be telling him I would be careful if I were you, because this is a big deal. I'm like, it doesn't matter if it's 10 to 100 family members or even just one single family member. If one does not fuck with you, like, that one man or woman is gonna go to extreme measures and extreme lengths to get to convince them we all need to stop fucking with him.
Well, is he really involved with his daughter though?
You said is he involved with his daughter?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I mean, they got a kid, you know what I mean? So they're forever entitled to one another, you know what I mean? So it's like, and they are together. They're not separate.
Genetic inside.
Yeah, they are together as parents, too. And so what I told them, I'm like, all right, man, like, you already kind of, you already walking on thin ice, just, you know what I mean, being a black man in Louisiana, choosing to entitle your life to a white woman and her white family in Louisiana. And so, like, I told him, I was like, that uncle, I would be careful if I were you. You know what I mean? Because that man could be plotting. You know what I mean? Especially if he really despises you.
I meant the uncle. My fault.
Oh.
Yeah, because he might rally his boys. Hey, we got a kill. He got my niece pregnant.
because like I said,
it's a fucking rain.
His only point that he kept constantly bringing up is that he doesn't come around much. When I was like, well, maybe that's exactly why you need to be careful. You know what I mean? Because he's probably watching just from the outside, just looking at y'all like, man, look at him, motherfucker. You know what I mean?
Waiting for a reason to pop off on you, you know?
Yeah, like I would sure love it if something just happened to knock that black boy skin off.
And then you gotta think about it, bro. He might just not come around because like you're there. Like after you leave, it's no telling. It's no telling. Like they might act like it. They and the family might be low key two faced. They might act like they like you and everything to put up with you because you know they with their daughter or niece, etc. But I guarantee you, once you walk out that door, they're like, can't believe she had the audacity to marry that.
Oh, and then look, I don't know why I didn't even tell him this, but I just pray to God that man that he just knows this on his own. What if you mess up and y'all? And y'all get into it and y'all separate. You think she ain't gonna call Billy to come get you now? Like she gonna call Billy like niggas call they dogs.
Billy the Butcher.
like hey, Cujo, bite his ass. Like they gonna hey, Billy lynch his ass. Like That's why I'm
Billy
saying.
Billy, grab your hang loose.
That's why
we
I'm
got
saying.
It.
That's why I'm
get the strap.
That's why I'm saying with these black women. That's why I'm saying with these black women, man. All they just want to come forward with your materials. They think they can destroy you from within just by destroying your materials. That's fine. That's fine. Break a window, flatten my tire, key my door. That's fine. Burn my clothes. That's fine.
You can always get that stuff replaced. You can't get your life replaced, bucko.
But I break up with her.
My life is non-existent at that point. R.I.P.
She plotting on stabbing me in the shower while I'm singing rock with you.
Forever offline.
Like she plotting on stab me in the shower. She planning on getting me 25 of life off of setup. Like all that. It's either death or the courts with them people, man. And that's why I just remain cautious. And that's why I just stand and say, man, I'd rather get my clothes burned down 10 times over. Shit, burn my house down. Hit me with the left eye treatment. Burn my house down. I don't care. Just like I got my life still though. And I'm still a free man.
Yeah.
Talk your shit.
So that's the testament of Zeus right there.
Big Zeus.
Yeah.
Now I have.
We'll also have Zeus in the description. Mm-hmm. If you're listening on YouTube, just check that description. Check out his album, Zeus. But if you're listening on Spotify or Anchor or even iTunes, definitely go on Apple Music or Spotify. Check out the album, Zeus.
Most definitely. I appreciate y'all, man.
We appreciate you too.
Now,
another classic episode from our brother.
A nigga has to get his beauty sleep to once again clock into the plantation tomorrow.
I mean, I'll call for you, you know, say COVID.
Oh, man. Oh, they would love that shit. So please give me a reason to give me some more visitation hours, aka the crib. thank y'all, my brothers, man. I'll see y'all.
Sure, yeah. Sure. But King,
what's up?
What stories you got for us, brother?
Man, like, racism stories, I got, my shit's like passive-aggressive racism, bro.
Oh, fuck.
It's like, they're not directly being racist, but it's like, I can tell by how they act around me, it's more so implied. I feel a little bit of that at work right now, too. and everything, but that's just like, I don't think I have like a general like racism story where somebody straight up like, you know, call me a nigger. It's just like more like corp shit, you know, where it's like indirect racism. They're just being passive aggressive about shit. Oh yeah, I'll tell you about how at work they called me into the office because they said they heard I called somebody a white bitch.
Oh! You called him a what?
Called somebody at work a white bitch, which I probably did. Because they were trying to say, like, I was a bad guy or some shit.
We used to go in detail about this one, bro.
So, like, this was, like, literally the last day before, you know, they let out them people from school for break and all that. And so I get called into the office and shit by boss lady and shit. She white. And, like, it's a good last day. Everybody vibing. Everybody chilling. And all that. So, it's like, we finding, like, they said, oh, we can leave early and shit for, like, the last hour of the day. And we're like, all right, bet. And, like, right when I'm clocking out, one of the white homegirls stops me because they're like, oh, yeah, you know, you're hourly. So you gotta stay, you gotta stay till your clock out time at 5. And of course, I'm like, that's fucking bullshit and everything, but whatever. I try to sneak out anyway, but then boss lady called me. So I'm like, all right, shit, let me say I was just dropping my shit off in the car to try to say something about it. And so I go into her office and they're like, it's a little meeting for some reason. White girl that stopped me from clocking out in the meeting, I'm like, why is your secretary in here? Is what I'm thinking.
Just set up.
Right. And so I'm just like, it's like, okay, because like, oh yeah, because you know, we might be looking into, you know, we want you to finish out the school year working here and all that. I'm like, yeah, I kind of do too. And all that good shit, you know, but it's like, because they said we, you know, tardiness and all that. This is like, you know, regular bullshit you hear. Your job and all that, like, you know, sometimes you show up late and everything, which is me. I'm niggas to show up late by like 5 minutes. And so he was like, and you know, I heard that, you know, it was reported to me, and I have to let you know that somebody heard you say, and I said, call somebody, and I quote, a white bitch. And I just had to give that dumbass look on my face, like, huh? Not me. I would never. Preposterous. How would you even assume I would say such a thing? No, and I fully did. The only thing I'm thinking is like, damn, which bitch did I call a white bitch that got snitched all this time? Because there's already three I'm thinking of off the top of my head and everything. So that's what kind of got me fucked up right there. Because I'm like, I'm texting all the niggas in the chat like, yeah, white bitch didn't snitch, dog. I know she did. But she did. But I find out she didn't. Like, the one I'm thinking of didn't snitch. It was the Hispanic bitch that has a white husband.
Uh-oh.
You know, yeah. You know, got all the guns. And I'm like, ah. It's one of them. That got me that time and shit. I'm low-key kind of pissed because it was like, I assumed it was the white bitch that was in charge and no longer in charge. But it's like, that shit had me heated for real. Because I'm texting the group chat, talking shit to everybody. Homegirl mama brought me a fish plate to work. I was happy that day. Nigga, that was homemade macaroni and cheese and all that shit. 7-Up cake with that shit.
Ooh.
7-Up. It's the sweet fun.
Ooh, and it was sweeter Sprite.
That's what I meant by that.
Shit gave me heartburn.
Oh.
That's how feel good the pain. That shit was.
Do.
But that was my last, you know, like, racism story, I guess. Because it was like, first of all, did I call you a white bitch? Probably, but you can't prove it. That's one. You can't prove that was me. And two, it's just like, y'all was going to come at me like that. First of all, I don't even be acting like that around y'all. I'd be acting like as white as possible. They don't know the real king they hired. Yeah, I showed y'all white king. Y'all don't know real king.
Give us an example.
Oh, I'll be acting in the shit with y'all. Oh, an example of White King? Yes, ma'am. Yeah. You know, how are you guys doing today? You know, that's good to hear. I'm glad to hear that. Everything's going fine at home?
That sure is that sure is great. I love to hear that. Please tell me more about it later. No, I'm not being serious at all. Just leave me the fuck alone.
Use big words.
On me. Preposterous.
Inconceivable. Looking at us. Inconceivable.
Indubitably.
I darnly did it.
Sweet grippily.
Wait, so Orwolf, like, do you have any stories?
Well, okay, so the earliest one that I wasn't aware of, but my parents were, second grade. I was enrolled to a racist teacher who was trying to flunk me.
Oh, shit.
So my parents were the ones who were to, like, look in and see why I was getting these bad grades. And stuff I wrote down was actually the correct one. It was this old, racist white lady. She was very old, probably like in her 70s or something like that. Still put on makeup. Short. Her hair was colored a dark gray.
She was throwing a parade when MLK died, I see.
Oh boy. I forgot her name.
I bet it was like Miss Smith. I bet her first name was Gretchen or some weird shit like that.
There was a Miss Smith, but she was black and had bad breath.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever had, I think I might have only had like one racist teacher, but that was like in elementary school.
Yeah, they're like around there. Then in high school, freshman year, I was being harassed by this fucking weird kid. I'm going to call his name too, but not his last name. His name's Anthony. He would drop the racial slurs in front of me, think it's funny, tease me. And one day when I was going to English class and the bell was about to ring, he tried to drag me into his class, which is adjacent to my class. So I hooked him, gave him a right hook to his rib cage. And a Spanish teacher saw me punch him, and we both got ISS for 2 days. But he went in first.
What was that one? That dude. What about that dude Lucas you always used to talk about?
That's Courtney. Courtney had more experience with Lucas. But Lucas was the racist country boyfriend that I was friend.
Yo, to his just girlfriend. Reminded me of a nigga. Hold on.
I was friends to his girlfriend, and she was like a tomboy, but didn't really look like it because she would like play aggressively and would like punch each other for fun and stuff. So it was like that type of girl. But her boyfriend was racist, and then Courtney told me that she was aware of it too, and was still with the guy. I'm pretty sure they're not together, but during that high school, what was it, like sophomore? Yeah, I was in the sophomore year.
Wait, what was the boyfriend's name?
Lucas.
Okay, never mind. I'm about to say, because I knew a Courtney with a racist white boyfriend in high school, too. I'm like, hold on, nigga. That's something you want to tell me? Like, we go to the same school and never see each other or some shit?
There is this phase.
Were you playing Modern Warfare 2?
Nah, I wasn't playing Modern Warfare 2. If I was playing Modern Warfare 2, then... Nah, it wasn't Black Ops 2. It wasn't even a Call of Duty game. That's shit. What made it worse. Because if it's COD... Okay, so for those of y'all who don't know, for our listeners, back in the day, if somebody called you a nigger and you were playing on COD, it wasn't really meant to be taken seriously in a way. It just was like, hey, that's just what they would use to attack you because you killed them because you were better than them. So, yeah. Y'all probably don't. People that play Cold Meat probably don't experience that no more. But
oh, it's still there. It's still there.
But yeah, so I was okay. So to give some backstory, okay. So I want to say like in the seventh grade. Okay, so in the seventh grade, I used to play this Dragon Ball game called Dragon Ball Raging Blast, and Warwick could tell you like that was a pre-Arkham City, a pre-Arkham Knight, a pre-Spider-Man world. Very, yep. Very, very tough world. So if I wasn't playing that, I was playing Blackout. So when I was playing that, I used to do online matches. I used to smoke on people's pack. I met this one dude on there, and Warp, you know this dude, because you play zombies in him like one time. So I met this dude, and his name was Joey. I don't know, it was Joey. It had like a bunch of numbers and shit on there. So I met him, I met him. We was in game chat. He seemed pretty cool, you know. So I added him, he added me, so we would talk like every. It wasn't on no like, you know, as much as like me and our other friend Young Air, but it was like, you know, we played Dragon Ball and stuff. So one day we was playing Raging Blast 2 and I smoked him. Like I basically got a perfect on him because I was in the lab just training. And so basically after that we got into like a huge argument over something and he called me and I was like like, and I mean, he screamed it, like, just, like, screamed it.
With the dude on the plane?
Yeah. So,
get that nigga off the plane.
So, it was like, and I just felt the hate and reflection in that man's voice. And after that, bro, because this is like, this is when Xbox, you know, so it was really just me and him in the Xbox Live party. And I think I was already getting ready to join, like, Warwolf and my cousin's party anyway, because we was getting ready to play Black Ops. But once he told me that, bro, I just removed him as a friend, blocked him, just called it a day, bro. I had never been so disrespected like that over a Dragon Ball game in my life.
Wasn't he a little kid, though?
No, he was about our age.
Joey. Yeah, I don't really remember him.
You and Chromatic played Black Ops with him. Y'all played zombies with him one time. Y'all said he got like 32 downs or something like that.
I do remember that. Did suck ass. But I thought he was like little, like maybe like 3 years younger than us.
Nah, he was. If he was like what? If he was like 13, he had. If he was like 13 at the most, he had to be like. He was like 12. I think he was 12. Even about a year later, we met Fuckboy.
Fuckboy.
We'll have him on the pod one day.
But, yes, sir.
I'll tell two stories and we're going to close this out. Man, this story, I haven't really told a lot of people this one. It's still kind of like, I won't say it fucks with me, but it is like, I don't know, it bothers me, you know. I was in Cali visiting, and this is specifically in LA, and one of my godfathers, you know, he takes me and my mom to I want to say Santa Monica, and we went out there to the beach and having a good time, right? And we noticed, oh, there's a churro stand like at the little like the little, I won't say resort, but like there's a beach, right? But then there's still like other like concession stands and like little you know, where there's like alcohol stands, there's a fruit stand and like crazy like hot dogs on a stick type shit, you know, like
yeah.
It's a whole vibe, right? And I see this churro stand. I'm like, ooh, Ma, I want to get some churros. So she gave me like $100 bill. And I went up there and it was a Hispanic dude.
Did you say
and...
keep the change?
No. You know black moms, so you better have the exact amount.
My mom ain't never hand me a $100 bill at a carnival.
Well, we're on vacay and we're in their hometown, so you know. It's just all vibes, good times, right? And the Hispanic guy, I want to say he's at least like maybe 50. Right off the bat, I can tell like it was a bad vibe. He ain't fucking with niggas. And like he at first he didn't even want to take my order. Like it was one of those things where he's like, he's thinking that, oh, because I'm black, I don't have money, right? And of course, I had the $100 bill. And I kid you not, you know, after he gave me the change, he didn't like hand it to me. He kind of like threw it at me.
Damn.
Get the fuck out my face.
And like, pretty much kind of like that, you know, and like, it still kind of like fucks with me, like thinking about it. So I'm like, damn, I never like experienced some shit like that, you know, like. It was like an eye opening thing because I say I was probably freshman year of high school. I'm not like naive and like not knowing like racist shit, but I'm like, damn, it's not just the typical colonizers, you know, some racist white person, right? It's Hispanics too. And I've seen it, you know, some black people, they're racist. But I'm like, damn, like, this one fucked with me. I was like, fuck. Like, I didn't think that was, like, a thing, you know? But I'm not going to end the show on a bad one. This other one I've told Kiki about. Nah, this one's kind of funny. Fucked up, but it's funny. So... growing up, you know, I was a military kid and we had to like move a lot because my pops was stationed like different places. And one of those places was racist ass Arkansas. And years later, I find out, yeah, Arkansas. Years later, I find out like how fucked up this place is because rest in peace, my grandpa, but he told me stories that are just like, I'm not even going to talk about it on the pod. Like it's fucked up. And it's like, damn. There's a history here, right?
Yeah.
But we're stationed on the base. Like, we live on a base. Like, we're living in a neighborhood where everybody's parents is in the military. And we're going to a school that's on the military base. Little did we know, like, this school has a history of being racist as fuck. I think it was maybe only 4 black people, including me. Like 4 black students. And this one teacher in particular, she was racist as shit.
Oh boy.
There's been plenty of times where later I find out when I get older that like, I'll tell someone like, oh yeah, they definitely were trying to like, they were calling plenty of times trying to say you were a bad kid. Oh, we don't know what kind of, oh, bless you, nigga.
Thank you.
Well, there was plenty of times where they would tell my mom, like, oh, we don't know what kind of upbringing Jalen's been through. Like, they were trying to make it seem like, oh, we came from the hood or something. Where it's like, no. We all live, like, no, it's not even that, King. We all live on a military, this is a military school. Like, this school is on a military base.
Oh.
So, it's not like we're from the hood. You know that we're making good, like, cut it the fuck out, right? But the story here, I want to say this is probably third or second grade. It's around that time.
Always around that
when,
time.
When did the PS, wait, when did the PS2 come out? Like not PS2, Xbox, like the original Xbox.
01.
And the GameCube. When did that come out?
I'm going to look that one up.
Let's see. Matter of fact, a good game that can track this, because this was the hardest game at the time. Budokai Tenkaichi 1. When did that come out?
So yeah, GameCube, same year. So let's see. Budokai. Good.
Like 2005? Yeah, so 2005, I want you to just think about like that time period. If you're somebody that's younger that was born like in 2000, which is kind of crazy to think about, in 2005, this was a pretty time where like internet's not really, I won't say it was a new thing. It wasn't, there was no Twitter and stuff where it's what the internet is now, you know. If this shit would have happened now, oh no, they would have been canceled and done for on the news and dragged, right? But I'm sitting in class and I'm reading my favorite book, you know, Magic Tree House. If you know, you know. If you didn't read that in your childhood, I'm sorry. I feel bad for you.
I don't know what to tell you. Because you wasn't living.
Yeah, because if you didn't read that, Diary of a Wimpy Kid and Captain Underpants, I feel bad for you.
Man,
but I'm reading.
Damn.
See, you know.
You got sucked into the void.
That nigga's in the Kid Cudi void. But I'm reading the Magic Tree House, and I read the whole thing in entirety. Like, and I don't remember what kind of day this was. Oh, I know what it was. It was a reading day. Cause it would be once a week we would all just read a book like independently. So I get done with the book, right? Tell me why the teacher says, "Oh, look, Jalen finished the whole book," and she had the whole entire class clapping.
Bruh.
That's not funny, but
bruh.
Now I want y'all to think about why. What's wrong with that? With that story?
She was trying to say he was an illiterate bastard.
This nigga can't read.
They thought I could not read. That's how racist they were. Knowing that my father is in the military, right? We're living on a military base. That teacher sat there and thought I could not read.
They sat there and said, "With all due respect, you not your daddy, nigga. Can you read?"
I'll be right back.
And I did not understand that situation at all. And it threw me the fuck off. I'm like, oh. I'm like, cool, right? Then I got older and I want to say, junior year of high school, I was like, wait a minute. I sat there and thought about it. And I talked to my mom about it later. And I was like, damn, these niggas thought I couldn't read. And I don't know what made me like think about that moment. I was like, what the fuck? Man, this shit is crazy. Like, they're that racist that they think, like, they just think you're illiterate and you're stupid as fuck. Like, it's crazy and it blows my mind. Like, I don't know if you guys experienced some shit like that, but that happened to me. And I will never forget that. But yeah, if we don't have any more stories, we can wrap this show up. Hope everybody enjoyed the show. If you're somebody that doesn't never experienced racism, or you're not black and you want to like understand like what we go through, this is like some of that happens to us like every day. It may be little shit, and sometimes it may be big shit, but it's every day to us and it's not really like talked about a lot. And I just wanted to like talk about it on the podcast because why not?
Remember, just because they're not calling you a nigga to your face doesn't mean they're not calling you a nigga behind a closed door.
Exactly. And this is not a hate speech to white people or anything like that. This is just talking about people that are colonizers. If you don't know that word, watch Black Panther. That can maybe help you understand that word. But yeah, hope you guys did enjoy listening to our torture stories of racism. But if you want to keep hearing this podcast and want to see this podcast grow, support us on Anchor. We do take donations on there. That will help the budget go up, help our editor eventually get a PC or a laptop that will bring this podcast to the next level. But yeah, check us out on Anchor. If you don't have any money to support us, that's fine. Just click play on iTunes, Spotify, Google, or anything where you like to listen to your audio version of the podcast. Follow us on there and also follow us on social media at the Delay W Podcast. We'll check you guys out.
Donations.
With the donations on the next episode. Peace.